The gospel reading this morning is found in Luke, the second chapter. Start in verse 4 and continue on. And it's the Christmas story. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning, we want to continue the series on the true gifts of Christmas, and this morning we're thinking about the gift of love. And even though we lit the candle for joy this morning, we skipped a Sunday sort of because the Christmas pageant last week, so we're doing the gift of love this week and the gift of joy next week. So we look at the gift of love this morning, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these two boys, ages 4 and 6, that were visiting with their grandmother just before Christmas Eve, and the grandmother told them that it was time to go up to bed, and she told them as they went up the stairs to be sure and make sure they said their prayers before bedtime. So the youngest of the two, they both knelt down. The youngest of the two began to pray in the top of his lungs. He said, "God, I pray for a new bicycle, and I pray for a new Xbox, and I pray for a new DS." And his older brother punched him in the shoulder and said, "You don't need to yell like that. God isn't deaf." And he said, "Yeah, but Grandma is." Well, when you think about gifts this morning and the gifts of Christmas, we think most of all that God came in love in Christ Jesus, and that's the greatest gift of all. That makes all the other gifts possible, and that's really the reason for the season anyway. And so this morning I want to just pause and help us to reflect on that greatest gift of all, which is God's great gift of love. There was a little girl one time who was coloring a picture, and she was working so hard on it, and her mother leaned over and said, "What are you coloring?" She said, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." And her mother said, "Well, that's ridiculous. No one's ever seen God." And she said, "That's because they haven't seen my picture yet." You know, all of us would like to know, what does God really look like? And more importantly, what does God act like? And in Jesus Christ, we have a picture of all that's humanly possible in human form of what God is. And God is love. God Emmanuel, God come with us in human form. And that's the promise of Isaiah chapter 7, Emmanuel, God come to us, God with us. God with us to share all the joys and fragility of human life. And you think for a moment about God could have come as a king in a royal palace, and God could have come as a mighty soldier and warrior. But instead, God chose to be a baby, the most fragile and tenderest, the most dependent form of humanity. God to share all of our joys and sorrows, to even be in a place and really what was a cattle trough in a barn, and to be born with parents of low esteem and means. But God was willing to do that so that he might share all of our fragile moments of life and to show us the way of love, and then to give his life on Calvary that we could know new life and the possibility of eternal life. We think of that great verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." And that's the gift that makes all the other gifts possible. We've been lighting these Advent candles, which symbolize hope and peace and love and joy. And really, love is the centerpiece of all of that. We think about hope because we have hope in our darkest night when we're facing adversity and difficulty, because we know if God was willing to come and share all our fragile moments in life, then God will see us through whatever the darkest night. We can light a candle of peace because we know that God has made possible peace between ourselves and God. That through not only the manger, but the cross and the crucifixion and eternal life, we know that God has made possible a bridge between ourselves and God. And through forgiveness and new life, we have peace with God and with others. We think about joy because the reason we rejoice is not because there's wonderful presents and we enjoy those on Christmas, but because of God's gift of love. We know that great gift of love, and that gives us joy in our hearts, even through the difficulties of life. And those are gifts that we can share with one another today. And none of this really, and I suppose in some way, is completely logical. It's sort of beyond logic. But we catch glimpses of that, I think, in different parts of life. There's a story that's once told about a great king in ancient Persia. This was a good king, and he really wanted to know his people, not just the rich and powerful people, but the people of average means and even people of poor means. And so from time to time, he'd dress up as a beggar. In beggar's clothes, and he put a hood over himself, and he'd go out into the streets and even sort of in the off-ways places, and he'd visit with people, not letting him know he was the king. And from time to time, he'd disclose himself. And one time, he went to visit a person that lived in this small cellar below another family, didn't have anything. And so the king was in beggar's clothes, and he sat there and talked to this man and even shared some of the stale bread that the man had and some just ordinary water. Didn't disclose that he was king, and he went back to his palace. And then later on, he went back to visit that man again, and then he disclosed that he was the king. And he thought that perhaps this man would ask a favor of any kind. And so he asked him, "Wouldn't you ask me a favor?" And he said, "Listen, you as the king have come to share your life with me. You ate my stale bread and just my ordinary water. You've gone beyond giving the presence. You've given me the presence of yourself and your friendship." In a sense, that's a picture of God come to us in Christ. That God was willing to come to us in ordinary human form to share our frail moments, our struggles, our adversity, and in sharing that, show us the way to love and the way to Calvary and the way to eternal life. Think about God with us, Emmanuel. It means God with us. And that's the name of our church, and I think our forefathers and foremothers chose a great name. That's one of the really centerpieces of the incarnation, that God came to us in Jesus Christ in Bethlehem and then gave his life on Calvary, God with us, to share all of life, to bridge the gap between ourselves and God. Today, this morning, think about what we can do to share that love with others. Because if God has shared his love on Calvary to us and in a manger in Bethlehem, the greatest thing that we can do other than accepting that love, accepting God's forgiveness, is to share that love with others. And in so doing, we sort of light a candle of light in a darkened world. That great passage from 2 Corinthians that Sylvia read, listen again to what it says, and it sort of paints this picture in terms of light and dark. Paul the Apostle says this, "For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Once we catch a glimpse of the face of Jesus Christ, once we experience the love of Jesus Christ, it transforms our life in such a way that we begin a journey of love. And as we go out into the world, we can't help but share God's love with others. We shine a light in darkness. And just like these candles, if you were to take them in the darkest night, the darker the night, the brighter the light. You and I have an opportunity each and every day to share a light of hope, a light of peace, a light of love, and a light of joy in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, everyday places. Maybe even while we're out shopping, we have a chance to share God's love with others. Think for a moment about that story of the shepherds this morning, and they heard the story of the angels, they heard the song of the angels, they went to Bethlehem, and on the way there, and even on the way back, every person they met, they shared the good news that Christ was born. And after they knelt and worshiped Christ, they left and they told every person. And I think for us, it's the same thing. Having experienced Christ, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to share that joy with others. And so today, it isn't always what we say. Sometimes it's just what we do. A simple gesture of love, a simple gesture of forgiveness, of kindness, maybe the cashier at the grocery store, maybe a person in need. I know that this has been a wonderful congregation. The past weeks has really shared in so many ways to the orphanage, to different places, and reached out to people in need and really made a difference in their hearts and lives. And we can continue to do that. Paul writes this about the gift of love. He really says it's not really so much what we say so much as what we do and how we do it. In the great passage in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of the wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. These three will always remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And how do we know what love is? We see in the face of Jesus Christ, we see in the life of Jesus Christ what love really is. And you and I have the opportunity each and every day by what we do to offer a gift of love to others. Sometimes it's just by what we do and not certainly by how much it costs. I'm reminded of the story this time of year of the great story by the writer O. Henry called The Gift of the Magi. And you may recall it, where a husband and wife were quite poor and they wanted to give each other a great gift for Christmas Eve, and they didn't know what to do, but the wife knew that her husband's greatest possession was his watch that was passed down as a family heirloom, and he didn't have a chain for it. And she saw this beautiful chain in the store window and wanted to get it for him, but she didn't have any money. And the husband knew that his wife had long, beautiful hair, and he really admired that long, beautiful hair, and he wanted to get a pearl inlaid set of combs, but of course he didn't have the money to get the pearl inlaid set of combs. And so both were secretly wondering how they could make this gift for the other person possible. And the wife decided what she'd do is, unbeknownst to her husband, she went out and got her hair cut off and sold it to a wig maker, was able to buy the watch chain. The husband went out and hawked his watch so that he'd have money to buy the combs for his wife for her long, beautiful hair. And she put a hat on her head so her husband wouldn't see her hair cut off. And they each wrapped their gifts, and then they met for Christmas Eve. And of course, the husband went first, and he gave his wife the gift, and she unwrapped this beautiful set of pearl inlaid combs, and she was just astounded to see this beautiful gift. And her husband said, "Well, you know, go ahead and use the combs." And she smiled and she took off her hat, and her hair was cut off. And he said, "Well, why did you cut off your hair?" And she said, "Well, because I wanted to sell it to the wig maker so I could get a gift for you." And so she handed him her gift, and he opened the gift, and there it was, a watch chain. She said, "Well, put it on your watch." And he said, "Well, I hawked the watch so I could get the combs for your hair." And both smiled at each other because they knew that, you know, really that was the greatest gift, because they gave all they had for each other. Well, you and I, by what we do so much, not by the means that we have, show love to each other each and every day. Maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's our brother or sister, maybe it's a person at school or college, wherever we are at work. We have an opportunity to do something special by what we give. God gave the greatest gift of all in Jesus Christ in love that makes everything possible. And you and I can really make a difference in other people's lives. Listen to these words about Advent. Advent is a time of preparing. Preparing our ears to hear the delicate rustle of angel wings, to hear the cry of the needy also. Advent's a time of having our eyes guided by the star to the glory of God's creation, and to see also the suffering of others. Advent is a time to have our feet prepared to take the knowledge of God's loving grace to others wherever they are. Advent is a time for our knees to bend before the Lord and to worship Him and to give homage to others. Advent is a time for preparing our minds for the greatest of all love story and the wonder of God's great love, and sharing that love with others. And Advent is a time for our voices to sing God's praises. And most of all, Advent is a time to open our hearts and minds to God's great love. There was once a little girl. She was crying in her room. Her daddy had put her to bed at night, and it was dark in her room. And so her father went up and asked her why she was crying. And she said, "Well, it's dark up here, and I'm so scared." And so her father knelt down and said a little prayer, and preparing to leave, and turned out the light again. And the girl said, "Well, I still feel scared." And he said, "Well, know that God is here with you." And she said, "Well, daddy, I want someone with skin on him." When you think about it, Jesus is God with skin on him. Someone that we could understand, someone we could embrace, to show God's love for us in human form as much as it is possible to comprehend us. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to close with this piece, and it's one of my favorite Christmas pieces, and it was given some time ago by Harry Reasoner on the show 60 Minutes, but I think it beautifully describes Christmas, and so listen if you will. He said this: "The basis of this tremendous annual burst of buying things and gift buying and parties near hysteria is a quiet event that Christians believe actually happened some time ago. You can say that in all societies, there's always been a midwinter festival, and that many of the trappings of Christmas are almost violently pagan, but you come back to the central fact of the day of quietness of Christus morning, the birth of God on earth. It leaves you with only three ways of accepting Christmas. One is cynically, as a time to make money or endorse the making of it. One is graciously, the appropriate attitude of non-Christians who wish all their fellow citizens all the joy to which their beliefs entitle them. And the third, of course, is reverently. If this is the anniversary of the acceptance of the Lord of the universe in the form of a hapless babe, it's a most important day. It's a startling idea, of course. My guess is the whole story of a virgin who was selected by God to bear his son as a way of showing love and concern for man. It's my guess that in spite of all the lip service given to it, it's not an idea that has been popular among theologians. It's a somewhat illogical idea, and theologians like logic almost as much as they like God. It's a so revolutionary a thought that it probably could only come from a God that is beyond logic and beyond theology. It has magnificent appeal. Almost nobody has seen God, and almost nobody has any idea of what he is like. And the truth is that among men, the idea of seeing God suddenly and standing in a bright light is not necessarily a completely comforting or even appealing idea. But everyone has seen babies, and most people like them. If God wanted to be loved as well as feared, he moved correctly here. If God wanted to know his people as well as rule him, he moved correctly here as well. For a baby growing up learns all about people. If God wanted to be intimately part of man, he moved correctly, for the experience of birth and familyhood is our most intimate and precious experience. So it comes beyond logic. It is either all falsehood or it is the truest thing in the world. It is the story of great innocence of God the baby, God in the power of man, and has such dramatic shock to the heart that if not true for Christmas, nothing is true. So if a Christian is touched only once a year, the touching is still worth it. And maybe on some given Christmas, some final quiet morning, the touch will take. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As we gather around the Lord's table this morning for a special communion moment, open our hearts and lives to God's great love and mercy. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for the season of Christmas, the way it makes all of life more special. We thank you for the gifts and the family time and the beauty, but most of all, we thank you for the miracle of your love come to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us to open our lives to the true gifts of Christmas, to your hope and peace and love and joy in a special way. May this Christmas be the greatest Christmas of all, because we know you as Savior and Lord, through Jesus Christ. Amen.